This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
The heartbeat of Saskatchewan is agriculture, and 620 CKRM is proud to be your source for everything ag. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by Assiniboia Livestock for the most reliable and dependable way to market your livestock. Today we have the latest crop report. Harvest is advancing in western areas, but still could be a week or two away in some eastern regions. We talk with Jim Wickett with the Western Wheat Growers about harvest near Rosetown and a petition against Ottawa's proposal to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from fertilizer use by 30%. Real Agriculture talks about soil seeding depth, and we have the latest Manitoba crop report.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. And brought to you by Farm Fresh Water. They'll make your well water wonderful and your dugout drinkable. Get your Farm Fresh Water today at farmfreshwater.ca. The latest Saskatchewan crop report says harvest is at 5%, up from 1% last week and behind the average of 8%. Provincial Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers says harvest is mainly underway in western areas of the grain belt.
We've jumped up to 5% now for the whole province. That's up from 1% last week. It's still slightly behind the five-year average of 8%. So, we're right where we should be. Just with the other regions not starting harvest yet, we're a little behind, but that's all right. Most of the progress has been made in the southwest and west central regions, and producers are making short work of their crops out there.
Yeah, what's the progress by region?
The southwest is leading harvest with 17% in the bin already, followed by the west central with 8. Some of the producers in the western half of the southeast have begun harvest, and they're at about 2% of their crop now in the bin, and the east central sitting at about 1%. The northern regions haven't started yet on a large scale. So hopefully with the warm weather we've been getting, the crops will start to turn and producers can finally get out there and get some of their crops off the field.
How are early yields?
Early yields down in the southwest and many parts of the west central regions are looking below average to well below average, where rain has been short and obviously soil moisture has been lacking. So very disappointing for those producers, and it's been very struggling for them. But in the areas that have gotten rain, especially in the east, the yields are looking much better.
Which areas had rain this past week? How much?
The Humboldt area received upwards of 83 mils, and the Broadview area got about 65, and Vanguard with 30, and Saltcoats 49. So some pretty heavy rainfalls to happen here in August, and that'll certainly delay producers in their harvesting operations if they've started. But areas, it's always, you pay attention to the big rainfalls, but you never really hear about the low ones. Conquest and Dinsmore areas, the areas there received between 1 to 6 mils of rain, so not very much, and many RMs in that crop district have received less than 6 inches all season long, so they're very desperately dry.
Yeah, I understand that Saskatoon Outlook area is very dry. Will there be much water shortages in western areas?
There hasn't been too many major shortages reported, but there are certainly shortages appearing more and more frequently across the southwest and west central regions, with many producers worrying about their water, so they're starting to haul much of their water in, and then they're also getting a lot of water quality tests done to maintain that the water is safe for their livestock to consume.
What were the main causes of crop loss this past week?
There's some strong winds and rainstorms that came through, of course, those big storms that rolled through, and that flattened a lot of crops down and lodged many crops. And also with that, unfortunately, came some hail again. So we've seen hail in the past 2 weeks. We're seeing it again this week, and it's very unfortunate. The damage has ranged from 10% of a field to 100% damage. So very disheartening to see that late in the season, especially with some producers looking at some very nice crops, especially in the east.
When will harvest be general?
Likely still probably about a week or 2 weeks away, just with the weather we've been having. Those rainy days set crops back quite a bit, and some crops are just taking a little too long to get ready. So I'd say about 2 weeks before the whole province is general.
What's the topsoil moisture rating?
For cropland, it's rated as 3% surplus, 60% adequate, 24% short, and 13% very short, followed by hay and pasture land, which is rated as 2% surplus, 58% adequate, 24% short, and 16% very short. So the numbers are still going strong there. The rains that we've been getting have maintained those numbers over the last couple of weeks here with a slight decline. But that's all right as we're getting into harvest. Producers wouldn't mind to see the rain hold off just a little bit longer and then let the skies open up and let the rain pour down once harvest is wrapped up.
Matt Struthers compiles the weekly crop report for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch eaves troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca. And your Prairie Co-op Grow Team. Fueling farms, feeding families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasbourg. Harvest has started in drier parts of the province, mainly in the west, central, and southwest regions. Jim Wickett farms in the Rosetown area, and we spoke to him a couple of hours ago. He provides an update on his harvest progress to date.
I'm about 20% done. I've done some red lentils and done a little bit of barley, so got a little taste of what's out there.
Wickett is also hoping for dry weather.
Yeah, I could use high 20s, not mid-30s. That's a little more tolerable, and putting things into the bin when it's, mid-30s, that's you really got to watch that stuff. But if there's any kind of moisture, it's all you're going to have issues.
Wickett says yields are below average.
Yeah, like personally, I've, low teens for my red lentils and about 40 for the barley, some above, some below. So that's significantly below what area averages is, and not that far away. I'm hearing some red lentil yields in the single digits, so that's not good. It's 2 years in a row like that.
Crop insurance will be coming into play.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be some things that it's going to be kind of tight, probably in a claim, but there's other things that it's just a no doubt. It for sure will be a claim.
And the quality?
Quality's been good so far on the red lentils. They look really good. No complaints there. The barley is thin as one would expect, and it's a little bit light. I talked to a barley buyer from this area yesterday, and he was saying a lot of 46, 47-pound barley, a little bit in the 48 to 50, but not anything over that.
Wickett says some areas have had spotty rainfall.
North of town is probably sitting a little bit better than us. They had a couple of showers come through that were earlier on. But I know, talking to some of those guys, that's pretty hit and miss. And there's plenty of guys north of town that would challenge me on that statement, that they're in a tough situation as well.
Wickett says the dry area is fairly sizable, although not near as big as last year.
Nowhere near. I mean, I talked to a Hutterite colony from south of Kindersley, and they were in the dry zone, but they were saying north of Kindersley's got a good crop this year. So I would say south of Kindersley all the way to the Alberta border, and then like you say, right down pretty much to the U.S. border.
Wickett says some areas of the province are looking at good crops, but an early frost remains a key concern. Jim Wickett farms in the Rosetown area. He's also a director with the Western Canadian Wheat Growers. After the farm weather, we will talk with him about a petition on fertilizer emissions. But more on that in a few moments.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising at realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity.
Hi, I'm Bernard Tobin. We're going to look at planting depth and how it can be influenced by soil type. To dig into this topic, I'm joined by OMAFRA soybean specialist Horst Bonner. Horst has done a lot of work on how deep you should plant soybeans and what can happen when there's a lot of clay in your soil profile. Now, Horst, you've done a lot of research on planting depth, and that we keep coming back to the 1.5-inch depth. It's pretty much your go-to, but hey, does that change when we're talking about different soils? For example, clay.
It's an excellent question, right? And that's why we did a trial here. So thanks to the Elgin Soil and Crop and to the GFO for sponsoring some of my research. And this has more clay in it. And of course, the question becomes, Do you have to be even more careful with going too deep because maybe that crust forms if you get a heavy rain and then it dries out and the beans are even more stressed to get out? So that's why we did it here. And we went all the way from surface applied, putting them right on the surface to see how many would take. Some years we get into that, like people ask, can I just broadcast soybeans if I can't get my planter in there because it keeps raining? Seems like a crazy question, but you know, as you can see from this plot, amazingly, we still get about a half to a third stand if the ground has been worked a little bit. But the real question is, you know, if it's dry, on clay, can you go to 2.5 or even 3 and feel like you're still going to get a good stand? That's the question, right?
Now, you've taken some stand counts here. You've got, as you said, you've got surfaced all the way up to 3 inches. What are you seeing here? What are your stand counts telling you?
It's interesting, actually, in the sense that we are coming back to that 1.5 inch being a good recommendation, and 2 inches, we start to lose some plants, which is okay, but the absolute maximum in this trial is 2.5 inches because we've already gone down to 100,000 plant stand at 2.5 inches. It's even more important on clay not to go too deep. You know, 3 inches, if you look at those numbers, boy, that's really, really starting to hurt in terms of a final plant stand, where on some loamier soils, you know, that hypocotyl can push longer because the ground isn't as tight, and we can maybe even go to a little bit past 2.5 inches. So at the end of the day, yeah, for sure, we're seeing a little bit more differences in terms of how deep you can go.
Just looking at your numbers for people who are listening here as well, Horst, what's the drop as you go from 1.5 to 2? I mean, that's almost, you're not going off a cliff, but you're heading downhill.
Yeah, so we're losing about 30,000 plants there, right? And you're right, we haven't gone off the cliff. We're still feeling pretty good about ourselves, especially if you get a rain like we did here. And you can see from the plot, It still looks pretty reasonable, but visually even, you can see at the 2.5, at 100,000, it's starting to look thin and not ideal. Because remember, I seeded 167,000 here in 15-inch rows, so there should be lots, right? Mm-hmm. And again, if you look at the hypocotyl though, this is what's really interesting. You can start to see that little bean is really stressed once you get deep in that the hypocotyl is actually starting to thicken a little bit, which is a bad sign.
I want to ask you about some U.S. data that we see a lot, and that is, you know, sometimes we're talking about, you know, deeper is better, up to 2 inches. You know, how do you rationalize that with what you see here?
Yeah, I think it really comes down to looking carefully at how they conducted the research, right? And what I'm getting at is a lot of that work that shows we can go a little deeper, or should even go a little deeper, is on trials where they had 30-inch rows. They used 30-inch rows. And of course, in 30-inch rows, you have more seed in that row, they can push better. And I do believe that if you're in 30-inch rows, you can go a little bit deeper because they help each other out. So that's part of it. And some of it is also that some of those trials are irrigated, which changes things. And of course, it's a different climate.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update.
It's your agro weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Partly cloudy today, wind north 30 gusting to 50. The high today, 27 degrees. Fog patches developing overnight, the low 10. Tomorrow, mainly sunny. Fog patches dissipating in the morning and a high of 28 for Friday, the low 12. Saturday, sunny, the high 30, the low 13. Sunday, sunny, the high 31, the low 14. Monday, sunny, the high 28, the low 14. Tuesday, sunny, the high 30, the low 13. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high of 26 degrees. Normal high is 24. The normal low is 9. The sun rose at 5:51 this morning. It sets at 8:13 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot is Saskatoon at 28. The cold spot up north, Collins Bay, is 18. Estevan is 25, Saskatoon 28. Swift Current, Weyburn, and Yorkton, all 25 degrees. Sunny in Regina, it's 24. That's 75 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the north-northwest at 24, gusting to 33. Humidity is 45%. The barometer dropping 102.0. Partly cloudy, Moose Jaw, 26 degrees. Winds are from the north at 18. Once again, Regina, sunny and 24. That's 75 Fahrenheit.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowan, Canada, before seeding your canola, peas, or lentils. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan, Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. We're back with Jim Wickett from Rosetown, a director with the Western Canadian Wheat Growers and a past president. The farm group has started an online petition about the federal government's plan to reduce fertilizer emissions 30% by the end of the decade. Wickett says the issue is generating a lot of international attention.
A few of our fellas, you know, have literally done 2 to 3 media hits a day, and they're like from Australia, England. I know Gunter Yoakum, the president, did one with the Wall Street Journal yesterday. They're from all over, and people are watching this, especially, I think, the reactions that happened in the Netherlands. But the government's being very disingenuous on this whole thing and the whole process that they're using. They kind of say one thing, and then they'll end up doing whatever they want. They gauge 100% of it on their voting base in the urban centers. But the reality is the food costs are going to go up, and there's no way around it.
Wickett says the 30% number seems to be just an arbitrary figure.
They just pull numbers out of air. I mean, if a person has to really keep this in context, this was not the agriculture ministry that came up with this. This is the environment ministry imposing this on to the ag ministry, and they don't really have the numbers. They haven't done any work to get baseline numbers. And then, you know, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that one of the proposals is, oh, it's voluntary, but it's tied to your agri-invest. So if you don't submit an environmental farm plan and follow along with all of these pie-in-the-sky schemes, you won't be able to use ag-invest. And ag-invest is a stopgap for droughts, for catastrophes where, you know, it's supposed to backstop your farm. And when you take another program and tie it to that, I just think that's kind of dirty cool, in my opinion.
Dutch farmers are protesting, discussing, and negotiating the entire issue with their government in the Netherlands. But Wickett doesn't expect much impact in Canada.
I don't really think so. I mean, you take a look at the actions of the government already. I mean, you take a look at the carbon tax. It was supposed to be $50. Now it's going to be $170. They can talk all they want. It's all to do with urban folk gathering in the major cities. And I think the fact this inflation thing has kind of bit them in the behind, and some of those urban voters, you know, are looking at the door and going, why is this so much money? You know, there's a lot of ways to do different things, but everybody has to eat every day. And you can't point the finger at one sector. And then one of the ones that drives most people crazy is they're coming down on the oil and gas sector and all this stuff for the environment. Yet so many places, Vancouver, Montreal, these places dump their raw sewage into the waterways, and then there's nothing said about that.
Europe may turn to greenhouse gas causing coal for winter fuel because Russia is limiting gas shipments following the invasion of Ukraine.
Well, exactly. And I mean, coal is just one that drives me crazy every time I go to Vancouver, because you have that massive coal export facility, and all it does is export U.S. Coal that's highly combustible and whatnot, and all of the ports in the United States don't allow it, so they have to export it out there, and nothing said about that. And here's Canada exporting the U.S. coal, the high thermal coal that China wants and burns.
The wheat growers' petition is part of a farmer reaction to Ottawa's push to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from fertilizer use.
As farmers, we really need to start treating the political end of things as much as we do, you know, deciding on our herbicides or our fertilizer program. We need to get more involved. Numbers count. And I encourage everybody, go to the website, sign that petition. Numbers are everything to this government, and how they look at it and where they poll and that completely drives this government. And so numbers count. Get involved. Engage. It doesn't matter if it's your crop commissions or whatever. This is a huge issue, and people need to push back a little bit, or this is going to get pushed down your throat.
Jim Wickett farms at Rosetown and is a director with the Western Canadian Wheat Growers. There's an online petition on the organization's website.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. The harvest of winter cereals has begun in Manitoba. James Fry is the applied production specialist with Manitoba Agriculture based in Roblin.
We're definitely getting close to the point where winter cereals are either being harvested or are very close to ready. That's obviously going to have depended on how things jumped out of the ground in the spring. So getting close to that point where the combines are rolling.
Fry describes crop conditions across Manitoba.
Well, across the province, it definitely varies. In the northwest region where I am, I would actually say we've got very good crop conditions. We've seen very good cereals performance over the summer with very timely rains and some very generous heat. And, then canola is probably a lot more stagey. You know, there's different seeding periods. And so, you know, amazingly, some fields that are only just finishing flowering but other ones that are, you know, well into pod and even kind of getting that first blush of that late season, you know, yellowing coming into the pods. So I think canola is a little more variable, but it looks good overall, especially in our northwest region here.
Fry says the spring cereal harvest is still a couple weeks away in much of Manitoba. Fry says some farmers east of Dauphin are considering seeding winter cereals on their land that didn't get seeded this spring due to very wet conditions.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update brought to you by Freeze Thomann Lumber. Go from backyard blah to backyard beautiful with landscaping products from Freeze Thomann in Regina and Fort Capel. And Sask Pork, working on behalf of Saskatchewan hog producers and our community. Grain prices were showing downward movement in early trading. Viterra prices for canola fell $14.20 at $739.82. Number one red spring wheat went down $10.13 at $358.02. The rest were unchanged. Durham $408.62. Feed barley $262.87. Chickpeas $925.95. Flax $627.67. Lentils $704.50. Oats $296.53. Yellow peas $442.89. And feed wheat $299.56. At Minneapolis this morning, September spring wheat fell 23¾ cents at $8.59¾ cents a bushel.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. Now, the latest livestock quotes.
Good afternoon. This is the Yorkton Heartland Livestock Market Report for the week of August the 17th. Our first pre-sort, what a smoking hot sale we had for all classes of cattle. But first of all, we have another announcement to make here at Heartland Yorkton. We have announced a new manager here. His name is Barry Bazook Jr. Jr. has been with Heartland for a number of years. Congratulations, Jr., on your new position. At our sale here yesterday, 710 in our pre-sort, 285 cows and bulls. We had some regular cattle on the side, a total of 1140 for the day. These cow and bull buyers were quite aggressive here. D1, D2 cows, 112 to 119, sales to 121, 122. D3 cows, 97 to 110. From the Spy Hill area, 1,650-pound cows at 125, over $2,000 for them. And from the Pelly area, 1,500-pound cows at 122.75. Cows are averaging 110. Good bulls, 135 to 145, sales to 149, 150. Bulls are averaging 135. From the Dysart area, 2,450-pound bull at 151 and a quarter. And from the Chesney Ranch at Melville, 2,000-pound bull at 150. Good job, guys. On to the pre-sort sale, selling to a very great, good demand. 400-pound black steers, 310. 500-pound steers, 277. 550s at 269. 650-pound steers at 265. These were calves right off Mama Cow. On to the yearling steers, 750-pound yearling steers, 246. 850s, 238. 950-pound steers at 222. On to heifers, 650-pound yearling heifers, 233. 750s at 219, 850-pound yearling heifers, 209, and 950-pound heifers at 195. It pays to sell by auction. Next week, August the 24th, will be our regular sale, only receiving on Tuesday from 8 to 8. And our next pre-sort sale, Wednesday, August the 31st, 200 head consigned so far. That's it for this week at Heartland Yorkton. I'm Harvey Exner. Have a good day.
And now the latest Saskatchewan pork prices.
Ham sold 7,700 hogs Wednesday, selling in a range of $271 to $289 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 6,800 head, selling in a range of $270 to $286 per CKG. Hams number 1,000 this week are steady, selling in the range of 70 to 80 cents per pound live weight. Ham's cash on price today is mixed, and forward contract prices opened lower this morning. On Wednesday, the Canadian dollar is down 27 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.2912. Canadian dollars currently trading at 77.20 cents U.S. The weakness in the negotiated Western Corn Belt region, which saw a one-day drop of $9.50 U.S. 100 weight on Tuesday, appears to have been an outlier event, and the region is trading over $130 once again. National formula region softened 85 cents under pressure from the cutout, which was $2.68 lower in the afternoon report, and national regions are under $118 for the first time this week. This morning's weekly export sales report had little for the bulls, with physical deliveries coming in at 25,600 metric tons, or the fourth lowest volume for the marketing year so far.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. And brought to you by Western Ag Professional Agronomy. If you want to make cropping decisions with confidence, visit growmoreprofit.com. The Mosaic Company has announced a $1 million investment in Morris Interactive Potash Digital Skills Training Program for Indigenous students. The training program is rooted in reconciliation and targeted toward First Nations, Métis, and Inuit individuals. The five-year investment follows in-kind support of on-site practicums, student mentoring, and training content. Mosaic CEO Jock O'Rourke says the 10-week innovative training program is built to be community-specific, with a program for student success, long-term careers, mutual respect, and shared economic benefit. The pilot program, in partnership with Cowessess First Nation in 2022, including practicum work at Mosaic's Esterhazy operations, resulted in 9 Indigenous graduates, 5 of which have acquired mining-specific jobs. The next course will be in Saskatoon from September 26th to December 11th. On the markets, the TSX is up 96 points to 20,277. The Dow has fallen 96 points to 33,884. Oil has gained $3.11 at $91.22 per barrel. The Canadian dollar is at 77.20 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the On Demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620CKRM.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, following the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.